Amen. That's great singing right there, and so true. Aren't you glad that God is still on the throne? Even in 2022, He is still God. And we're here to worship Him today. If you would, please open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll be looking together this morning at verses 17 to 21. As you're turning there, I want to wish each of you a happy new year. Amen. And I haven't seen any of you since last year, so it's good to see you. Where have you been? But no, it's a blessing to be here in 2022. Of course, after last night, it's a blessing to be anywhere. We had a storm blow through here, as you know. Of course, my family lives in New Harley. And I went to bed last night perfectly at peace. Of course, I had my alarm app set for in the event there was a tornado or whatever passing through. But I went to sleep. And this morning I got up to the news that Denise had been up half the night listening to the weather, because all of the alarms were going off. And I never knew it. I slept right through it. And so I was perfectly at peace. And so I'm thankful for a wife that would let me sleep. And maybe that's for a reason. Maybe she was going to leave me behind. I don't know, but I'm grateful for her. But anyway, I'm glad to be here. And church, I want to say a word of thanks to you for being such a generous, gracious church. As you know, we have been receiving donations for the Kentucky tornado victims. And as of last Tuesday, we picked up a huge trailer load of supplies that will be leaving tomorrow to go to Kentucky. In fact, all combined throughout Floyd County, there are three semi-truck loads of supplies leaving here to go to Kentucky. Amen. Isn't that great? I'm so proud of our community for stepping up, and even our church for stepping up on short notice as you have. So I want to thank you for doing that. And also, I want to make mention that we will also be having a group from our community go up to Kentucky tomorrow. William Fricks will be joining that group. And so please pray for them as they travel up to Kentucky this week and invest in rebuilding and helping people there who have experienced such crisis. But as a church, we plan to have a future mission trip. If you're interested in going to Kentucky at some time to help with rebuilding and helping the people there, let me know. But we will be scheduling something very, very soon. But anyway, if you would please stand with me as we reverence the reading of the inspired and inerrant word of the living God. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 17. Our scripture says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Will you join me as we pray? Father, how we thank you for your word, and how we thank you that your word is true. And in a world today that is filled with so much error and deceit and lies, Lord, we thank you that your word is true. And this morning we come asking, Lord, that you fill our minds and hearts with your truth. And Lord, I pray for anyone who may be here today who is downtrodden and discouraged because of the difficulties of life. I pray that they will leave here today encouraged. And Father, I pray as well for anyone who may be here without Jesus. I pray as well that your precious spirit will convict and draw them to the Master this morning. So Lord, we invite you to do this morning what only you can do. And that's to change lives. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. Got a question for you. How many of you wish you could live 2021 all over again? Anyone in the house? Not a single one. I understand that. You know, if you had 2021 to live over again, how many of you would probably do something differently? Anybody? Yeah, there's a few of you out there. I know I would. If I had the year to live over again, there would be some things I would definitely do differently. And the reason we desire to do things differently is because we made mistakes along the way. Things happened that were beyond our control. You know, sometimes you give your best shot and you still fall short. And perhaps you had lofty weight loss goals for 2021 and you fell short. I remember last year a friend of mine sharing with me that he had posted on social media. Here's what he said. He said, "Not to brag or anything, but I finished my 30-day diet in 3 hours and 18 minutes." He's the overachiever, amen? You know, then there's those who may have worked very hard at your job, but you got laid off anyway. Maybe you had lofty financial goals for 2021 and you fell short. You may be here this morning and you're a college student and you worked very hard on your college courses and somehow you fell short of making the grade you desired. You know, truth is, church, we all fail in life, do we not? We all have struggles in this life. We all have setbacks and some are more painful than others. Some are long-lasting. Some of us have experienced loss and the pain still lingers. You know, it's hard to begin a new chapter in life when we know that someone special in our lives are not going to be in that next chapter. So how do we move forward? How do we take that next step? So friends, listen, as we begin a new year, I want us to look this morning at how you and I can make a fresh start in 2022. How many of you are ready for a fresh start? Yes, we all are. And we look to the future with great hope and anticipation. And we can do so as we do it God's way. God does have a way of us starting fresh and new. Listen, God is far more interested in your future than he is your past. Some of us think that God is forever fixated on our past. But that's not true. He is interested in your future because that's where you're going to spend the rest of your life. You know, he is interested in you moving forward. So as you listen to this message this morning, it's my prayer that God will speak into your life about how you can have a fresh start in 2022. And so I want to give you a simple formula for starting over. Now, my outline this morning is really very simple, as you see in your handout this morning. And I'll be using a simple acrostic we call START. START. And so the S in the word START is salvation. Salvation. You know, a qualifier for this new start we're speaking of this morning is a relationship with Jesus Christ and not just some lofty resolutions. You know, a lot of us think that we can better ourselves. We read our self-help books and all these other things, and we have visions of grandeur for the future. And we set lofty goals for ourselves, but the problem is we leave God out of it. But listen, friends, you were created to have a relationship with God. God puts you on this planet for you to have a relationship with him, and there is no way you can live out your life's purposes apart from God. So listen, if you want a fresh start this morning, it begins with a saving relationship with Jesus. Our text this morning says, "If any man be in Christ." I got a question for you. Are you in Christ? I'm not asking you, are you a church member? I'm not asking you, have you been baptized? I'm asking you, are you in Christ? Has there been a time in your life where you have recognized your need for redemption and you called upon the crucified, buried, and resurrected Christ to come into your life and to rule and reign from your heart? Have you not done so? If not, today is the day. The Spirit of God says, come, come. You know, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says that without Christ, we are dead in our trespasses and sin. You know what you are? You're just a walking funeral. You're a walking corpse. You know, many of us like to think that we can make it to heaven on our own. I'm reminded of a story Bobby Welch shared some years ago of a seminary friend of his who was preaching at a rural church in Mississippi. And he was heading back from his church to New Orleans Seminary where he was a student. And it was a rainy Sunday night and he was driving along and it was pouring rain. And he had his windshield wipers just going wide open and he's driving down the road and his headlights spot this man standing in the road. And the man was waving like this. And so the man thought, well, listen, this must be some crazy guy wanting me to stop and rob me. And so he started to swerve over into this lane, and the man in the road moved over in the lane in front of him. And so he swerves back over into the other lane, and the man moves over into the lane in front of him. And this continues on and on and on until finally the man forced Bobby's friend to stop. And the man bangs on the hood. And he says, the bridge is out. The bridge is out. You see, this man was on his way home in his own thinking, and he thought he was going to make it home safely, taking that route. But you know what? The bridge was out. And the same is true for you and me. The Bible warns that the bridge is out for all of us. We may be going along in life thinking that we're going to make it our own way. But the Bible warns that the bridge is out. There is no way that you and I can make it to heaven on our own. But the only way to heaven is the way of the cross. The cross is the bridge that crosses the great divide between man and God. You know, many times we make excuses for not coming to Christ. You know what? Some of us have concluded that God could never forgive me for what I've done. You think that you have sinned so greatly that you're beyond the scope of God's grace. Well, I've got great news for you. God's grace is greater than your sin. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, how badly you've messed up. The grace of God extends to you. And the gracious hands of the Savior invites you to come to Him and be saved today. So how do you turn a negative into a positive? A minus into a plus? Listen, Jesus was hung up for your hang-ups, amen? Whatever they are. He died on the cross for everything you feel bad about. The things that you feel shame over. He died for you. I love what Isaiah writes in chapter 53, verse 5. He says, but He was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on Him, and by His wounds we are healed. Aren't you thankful for that? That it's through the scars of Christ that we can have our sins forgiven. He died for you, sir. And you, ma'am, and you, young person, so that you can have eternal life. You know, some conclude that they have plenty of time to get saved. Plenty of time. I'll get saved whenever I'm good and ready, but right now I'm just not ready. I want to sow my wild oats and really live life, and when I'm good and ready, I'll come to Christ. Well, the Bible warns that there's no guarantee of tomorrow. Proverbs 27 verse 1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. You know, life is so uncertain, is it not? There are many who had big plans for today, but they didn't wake up this morning. Hell will be filled one day with people who plan to get saved next Sunday at 11 a.m., but they died at 10:30. You know, sometimes we substitute our need for God for other things. And much of our activity today is just merely substitutes to keep us busy. And we think the busier we are, the happier we are. Some people think that the busier they are in church, that the holier they are. But you know, much of our activity these days is nothing more than a cheap anesthetic to deaden the pain of an empty life. Is that not true? We're so busy, but we have no time for God. You know, the Bible says that life does not begin until you come to Christ. That's where life really begins. You were born to be born again. Knowing about Christ is not enough. Paul says, if any man be in Christ. So the question remains this morning. Are you in Christ? You see, there is no way to begin 2022 any better than being born again. But there's a second letter in our acrostic this morning, and that is the word take. And what I mean by that is we need to take stock of who you are and what you have in Christ. Take stock of who you are and what you have in Christ. You know, here's the question for you. Who are you in Christ? Who are you in Christ? The Bible says that you are a new creature. Amen? You know what that means? It means that you're not who you used to be. Now, I realize this morning I'm not all I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Jesus Christ has changed my life. Can you say that this morning? The Bible tells us that we are a new creature. In Christ, your past is gone. All your failures, all the things that you're ashamed of. In Christ, you're a new person. Can I tell you this morning how God looks at you from the Bible? God says, first of all, that you have been justified. Justified. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul writes, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that, don't you? You know, the first three chapters of Romans paint a vivid picture of a courtroom scene where the whole world stands before the judge of the universe. You and I are in the crowd. And we're standing before the judge, the Lord Jesus Christ, who functions as both judge, jury, and executioner. And we stand before him with a charge of treason against us. We have sinned against the Lord our God. And the verdict is guilty. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the sentence for our guilt is death. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. And so there we are, guilty before the judge. But suddenly the judge gets up from his side of the bench and he comes around to where you and I are. And he says, because I love you and because I do not wish for you to spend eternity separated from me, I will die in your place. And so the judge takes off his robe of judgment and brings robes of righteousness to you and to me. For those of us who place our faith and trust in him, we can be justified. I love the word justification. You know, it simply means that it's a legal act whereby man's status before God is changed for the good. And so what that means is that you are completely forgiven and fully pleasing to God as his child. You have been justified. And so in a sense it means that you are just as if you've never sinned. That is your status. But it means more than that. It means that the Lord has imputed to you his very righteousness. And so when the Lord looks at you, he sees the righteousness of his own son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that great news? So you are justified. But secondly, God says that you have been made brand new. You no longer have to dwell on the pain of your past. Christ has already taken the punishment for all the failures of your past. And so your debt, your sin debt, is paid in full. I'm so thankful that Jesus still makes dead men alive. I'm so thankful that Jesus still makes the crooked man straight. And friends, it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. You can trust Christ and be made brand new. And all the shame of your past be washed away. And he will never hold your past against you ever again. But God says also that you have been reconciled. You've been reconciled. That means that God totally accepts you and you do not have to fear God's rejection ever again. Because you have been brought near to him. Where there was at one time a strained and broken relationship. We've been reconciled to our Father and we're now at one with him. So we've been reconciled. But also we've been adopted into the family of God. Many of you don't know, but I was adopted when I was 3 months old. And I became the son of Carl and Myrtis Brown. I was adopted from an institution right here in Rome, Georgia. I didn't know that until a few years ago when we did some research on my life. But I was adopted, carried to Cairo, Georgia. And there in Cairo, Georgia, I enjoyed the rights and privileges of being the son of Carl and Myrtis Brown. But when I turned 13 years old, while on a youth retreat in Titusville, Florida, I met Jesus Christ. I trusted in him as my Lord and Savior. And I was adopted into the family of God with all the rights and privileges of being a child of God. You see, friends, I stand here today twice adopted. Adopted by a loving couple in South Georgia. But I was adopted by a Heavenly Father who allowed me to be part of his forever family. And nothing will ever change that. Regardless of my behavior, regardless of what I say or do, I will always be a child of God. And listen, if you're here today and you're in Christ, I want you to understand that you are an adopted child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Never get over that. But according to verse 20, God says that you're an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador for Christ. You know, an ambassador is someone who represents or serves as a spokesperson for a king or for a head of state. You and I have the incredible privilege of going out into the world and sharing the good news of Jesus. Our Father has called us to go forth and represent him to the world. I think the last time I spoke, I shared with you about my experience of going to Washington, D.C., and I was in this large assembly, and the keynote speaker for this event was President Ronald Reagan. I was so excited about that and hearing him speak, and I'll never forget the experience of watching him being introduced and coming out to the platform and the applause and the band playing Hail to the Chief. Man, I had goosebumps all over me. It was just an exciting moment. But you know what? Ronald Reagan didn't know me. He didn't even know I was there. He certainly didn't know my name. But friends, I'm known by my Heavenly Father. He knows my name. He knows where I am. And He loves me. And the same is true of you and for me. You know, the Lord has justified me in the courtroom of His righteousness. He has reconciled me unto Himself and adopted me into His family. And He has wiped away my sin record and has given me the privilege of being an ambassador to the world. What a privilege that is. So friends, listen. As a church, let us be reminded that you and I are ambassadors for Christ. And a world desperately needs to hear of the saving grace of Jesus. So friends, listen. Let's commit together in 2022 to go forth and aggressively share our faith with a lost and dying world. What a great commitment that would be. You know what, friends? 2022 could be the year when Jesus comes again. And we should get up every day with grateful anticipation that today could be the day when Jesus comes. So Lord, help me today and every day to be on mission for you, to share the good news of Christ and what He's done for me. That is what an ambassador does. So take stock of who you are in Christ this morning. But thirdly, the third word in our acrostic is the word attitude. Attitude. You know, the Word of God says the old things have passed away. And with the realization of who you are in Christ, you should embrace an attitude that is appropriate for a believer. And for too many Christians, there are those who run around with a woe is me kind of a mentality. The sky's falling, everything's terrible. You know, all life is coming to an end tomorrow. You've been around them. You know what I'm talking about, right? And they're everywhere. But you know what? Listen, your outlook often determines your outcome. There is nothing more pitiful than a Christian with a negative attitude. After all that the Lord has done for us and who we are in Christ and what we have in Him, we should be the most optimistic, happy people in the world. But you know, negativism is such an oxymoron for Christians. It's kind of like jumbo and shrimp. Put those two words together. Classic example of an oxymoron. Oh, here's a good one. How about championship and Atlanta Falcons? Two words that probably don't belong together. But you know, some people see difficulty in every opportunity. But others see opportunity in every difficulty. It's a matter of your perspective. Failure isn't necessarily a bad thing. Failure can galvanize our faith. Failure can redirect unhealthy attitudes and carnal self-sufficiency rather than God-dependency. Listen, failing does not make you a failure. There have been a lot of world-class failures. Allow me to share a few. There was a general who lost 2/3 of all the battles he fought in the American Revolution. His name? You know it, George Washington. He won the war. There was another guy who graduated 42nd out of a class of 43. He then went out and conquered Europe. His name? Napoleon. There's a guy who almost lost every election he ran for. In fact, 10 out of 12 until he was finally elected president. His name? Abraham Lincoln. You know, in 21 years, Babe Ruth hit 714 home runs. But listen, he struck out 1,330 times. He struck out nearly twice as many times as he hit a home run. But you know what Babe Ruth said? He said, "Never let the fear of striking out keep you from taking a swing." I love that, don't you? Failing does not make you a failure. Failure is an event, not a person. Dear child of God, you are not a failure. And don't you ever allow the enemy to tell you differently. You are a victor in Christ Jesus. You may be carrying the scars of someone's words many years ago. Someone told you that you will never amount to anything. Someone significant in your life may have said, "You're stupid." Someone significant in your life may have told you that you're a loser. Satan will often try to dredge up and remind you of those words to haunt you, to cripple you. And sometimes he will remind you of past sins that you have begged God's forgiveness for over and over and over again. It's as if we have an electronic guilt button that he loves to push in order to discourage us. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel the sting of Satan's attack upon your life. Listen, if that's true of you, then what you need to do is let him know that he has been short-circuited by the blood of Jesus. And then you remind him of his future. Satan is an enemy who desires to destroy you, to discourage you, to sideline you, and destroy your effectiveness as a witness for Christ. Do not allow his lies to destroy you. But you believe God's truth. You believe what God says about you. What this word says about you is what you need to believe. You are everything this word says you are. And don't you believe anything differently. So your attitude has a lot to do with your outcome in 2022. God wants you to know victory over your past. He wants you to get on with the future. God says, "In Christ, the old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." Can I get an amen this morning? Y'all still with me? But there's a fourth word to our acrostic this morning, and that is the word renew. Renew. And what I mean by that is we need to renew our minds. Renew your mind. You've got to renew your thoughts if you're going to change your life. If you want a fresh start, then you've got to change the way you think. And ultimately, the way you think will determine how you feel about yourself. And how you think will also determine how you act. So listen, if you want 2022 to be different, then we have to think differently. The scripture tells us, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So how do we renew our thoughts? It's by meditating on God's word. This book is truth. It is truth from cover to cover. Listen, friends, we live in a world that is filled with lies and error and deceit. And thank God, he has given us his word to turn to know truth. I'd hate to know where we would be today were it not for the Bible. So how do we renew our thoughts? It's by meditating on God's word. The word meditate means that we think a lot about what God has to say to us in the Bible. It's kind of like the idea of a cow chewing a cud. He chews and chews, and then he swallows, and then he regurgitates it, and he chews on it again. That sounds great just before lunch, doesn't it? But that's the idea. But you chew on it, and you never lose sight of what God has to say to you. Now, some of you are in an emotional and mental prison because you're believing the lies of the enemy. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, think about these things." So listen, your mind is the battleground between truth and error. Error always leads to bondage, but truth liberates. And listen, you cast the deciding vote of what rules your mind. Can I encourage you to get on a systematic plan to read through the Bible this year? I want to encourage you to commit this year to read through the Bible, or at least read through the New Testament this year, and meditate upon it and allow God's truth to permeate your life. May I be deeply personal with you this morning? Some of you already know our story. But on January the 21st, 2019, Denise and I lost our son to suicide. The scars we carry are still very real. The pain is still very real. But by God's grace, we continue on. But I'm not sharing that this morning to ask for pity. I'm sharing that this morning because there well may be someone in this room this morning that's battling depression, and you're having serious thoughts of taking your own life. Listen closely. Don't do it. When you take your own life, all you're doing is passing your pain on to those who love you the most. I want to tell you something else. When you take your own life, you are robbing God of the opportunity to work powerfully in your life. Listen, God knows where you are, and He sees your depression, and He desires to rescue you from it. And He can if you will allow Him to. But listen, church, do not allow the enemy to rob you of God's best for your life. Suicide is never the answer. Get help. Get help. If suicide is something that is really on your mind, call me and let us help you. We can get you connected to people who will certainly help you in your time of depression. That's a real struggle, and one that is deeply personal, but one that you can be delivered from to the glory of God. You know, some of you need to quit believing lies and start believing God's truth. So renew your mind. But the last word in our acrostic this morning is the word trust. Trust. And what I mean by that is we need to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. God says all things have passed away and all things have become new. God says, "I have given you a brand new start. So live like it." Live like it. Act like it. You know, some will ask, "What do I do from here? And how can I know God's will for my life?" I think we're asking the wrong question. It's not, what is God's will for my life? The question is, what is God's will? And what I mean by that is simply this. If you really want to know God's will for your life, It means that today and every day we obey what we know to be true of God's known revelation. God is not going to reveal His will for your entire life in one big lump sum. If God had revealed His will for my life years ago, I'd have checked out of life a long time ago. But you know what? God does have a perfect will for you. But you know what? The way you find it is by daily yielding to His known revelation for you. And the way you know His revelation is by getting into His Word. You listen to the Lord. I love what the writer of Proverbs says in chapter 3. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him." And what? He will make your path straight. So learn to trust in the Lord. How do I find God's will for my life? By being obedient to what He tells us to do today and every day. And following God's will daily leads to a life destiny. And someday when you look back over your life, you can look back with rejoicing and not with regret. You know, as we look ahead into 2022, we can trust God to care for us. Listen, we don't know what 2022 holds. We don't know what the future holds. But we do know who holds the future. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, the Lord has invested far too much in you than to just get reckless with your life. He will never allow you to drown in a sea of despair. I'm here to tell you, our Lord can be trusted. There are many in this room today that need a fresh start in 2022. And it begins with a saving relationship with Jesus. Are you in Christ today? If not, we invite you to turn to Christ this morning, not tomorrow, today, now. Call upon Christ and ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. You need to take stock of who you are and what you have in Christ and leave here today rejoicing in that truth. Maybe we need to change our attitude. Maybe we've been consumed with negativism when we need to be focused on who we really are in Christ and rejoice in that. Maybe we need to renew our thinking and renew our thinking around the truth of God's Word and not allow our minds and hearts to be imprisoned by lies. And a final way this morning is simply just trust in the Lord. Though we don't know what the future holds, we do know who holds the future. Our God is sufficient. So friends, listen. Do you need a fresh start in 2022? Trust the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, how we thank You for Your Word this morning. And Lord, how we thank You that Your Word is true. Father, I'm so thankful that though we live in a world that is filled with so much hopelessness and despair, that You came to give us life and life eternal. Father, this morning I pray for anyone in the sound of my voice who is not a believer. I pray that this morning that they would turn to You and be saved. And Lord, I pray for anyone who is discouraged, beaten up by the cares of life, those who are grieving today, maybe they're experiencing depression. Lord, today, would You speak into their hearts and lives? Father, all of us in this room today long to have a great 2022. but it begins when our hearts and our lives are properly aligned to you and your will for us. So Lord, this morning I pray that every man, woman, boy, and girl will do this morning what they'll be glad they've done when they stand in your presence one day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, in just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. And it could be that this morning you're here and you're without Christ. This morning we invite you to come. Brother Ted will be here. I'll be down front to receive you. Just simply come to us and just say, hey, this morning I've recognized my need for Jesus and I need to be saved. And we'll be glad to help you with that. Maybe you have some other need in your life. Maybe just someone to pray with you. Then please come and let us know. We'll be glad to pray with you about a need in your life. But here's the deal. The Lord is here today. And he wants to speak into your life. He wants to liberate you. He wants you to leave here today rejoicing and walking in victory. Because that's what the gospel is all about. Amen? So why don't we stand together just now for our time of invitation, just now.